series of shiurim about the sugya of achila as it relates to all areas of halacha. It works out pretty well for us in terms of Pesach, and so many mitzvahs that we do on Pesach involve achila also. So we'll try to speak a continuation of some of the klalim that we spoke about in the previous weeks about what's considered to be achila and kol Torah kula, with a little bit of a highlight, a little bit of focus towards the area of Pesach as well. There is a principle in the sugyas of achila that appears in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim. Those of us the sugyas of Pesachim a couple of years ago, remember this, we spent a lot of time on this. That's the principle called Shaloike Derech Achila. Chazal distinguish between a person who eats something in a normal fashion, in contrast to a person who eats something in an abnormal fashion. So let's say, for example, the Isra of Chelev, there's an Isra in HaTorah we just read about yesterday. Chelev, you're not allowed to eat Chelev, the forbidden fats of an animal. So the Gemara says, what's the din of a person who eats Chelev Chai? If a person eats Chelev, but eats raw Chelev. So the Gemara calls that Shaloike Derech Achila. And therefore the person is potter, so he's not going to be chayev malka, he's not going to be chayev koris, not chayev a korban. The person who eats something shaloka derech achila. Most of the Rishonim assume that it's still going to be prohibited mid rabbanan. The Gemara never says it's mutta, the Gemara just says that it's potter. So we're going to work with the assumption that shaloka derech achila is not an achila min haTorah, but it's still a problematic mid rabbanan. This din of shaloka derech achila appears in the Gemara explicitly in the realm of lavim. What about in the realm of mitzvah saseh? What if, when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah saseh, so a person eats something in an abnormal fashion? So it's hard to find an answer to this question. You've got to start looking around for different kind of mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh that would come to mind immediately would be Korban Pesach. What's the din if a person eats Korban Pesach in a raw state? So that's a bad example, because you're not going to do it anyway, because the mitzvah of Korban Pesach has to be in Sliyesh. So even if you eat it in a normal fashion that is cooked, but it's not roasted, that wouldn't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah properly. So that's not the route we want to go to. So what other examples do we have of things which could potentially be eaten in a raw state? That would be shaloka derech achila. Would that constitute a mitzvah or not? So the chora, we can go to the realm of other kachim. What's the din of a regular korban between a korban Pesach? A regular korban doesn't have to be roasted. So what if a person ate a regular korban, but he ate it chai, he ate it raw? What would the din be? Would that be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of achilas kachim? So the Torah says in Parshas Tzaveh, there's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, at least for Kohanim, for sure, to eat karbanos, according to some Rishonim, even for Yisraelim, to eat their share of karbanos. So there's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, b'chilas karban. What's the din? Can a person fulfill the mitzvah saseh, b'chilas karban? Shaloi kederech. Should we say that? Shaloi kederech is not called achila in all areas of halacha, bein for lav and bein for essays. Or maybe for some reason we should distinguish and say that in the realm of Yisurim, that's where the Gemara speaks about it, in the realm of mitzvah, so maybe that din doesn't apply. So l'chor, there's a beferish of Gemara, beferish of Mishnah about this topic, about eating karbonos in the state of being raw. The Mishnah in Maseches Menachos talks about a strange scenario. Once every couple of years, today we don't have it at all, but once every couple of years, you end up with a phenomena that Yom Kippur could fall out on a Friday. The way our calendar is set up, that doesn't happen anymore. But the days of the Beis HaMikdash, so they would declare Rosh Chodesh based on the Eidim. So anything could happen. It's a freebie. So in theory, Yom Kippur could come out on a Friday. Imagine, it's just strange. Strange enough, when a Sabbath tables falls down on a Friday. Imagine going from, I can see people pushing to, what would the minhag be? Would you say, if you know, okay, with the Friday, would be very loving the Shaila? I don't know. And Levi's been able to deal with that Shaila. But the days of the Beis HaMikdash had to deal with that Shaila. But the Mishnah says that was a big problem in the days of the Beis HaMikdash when Yom Kippur fell out on Friday. The problem is that there's one korban of Yom Kippur that's eaten. Most of the korbanos on Yom Kippur are burnt. Par, sar, etc. But one of the korbanos is eaten. The sar of the musaf of Yom Kippur is a regular sar lachatas, and a sar lachatas is eaten by the kahanim. So how are they going to eat this meat? So obviously in Yom Kippur they're not going to be able to eat the meat. And they have to eat the meat Friday night, because if you leave it over till Shabbos morning, it's going to become nosa. You can't put it off. You can't put it in the freezer and eat it after Shabbos. So they have to eat the soyer on a Friday night. You imagine sitting there, you just finished fasting the whole day, and you sit down to eat a goat's meat. But to make matters worse, the Mishnah says, how are you going to cook the meat? So you're not allowed to cook the meat. Said to cook the meat on Yom Kippur is also to cook the meat on Shabbos is also. So you got this raw goat's meat sitting in front of you, and someone's going to eat it. So I'm mitzvah the rice. How are you going to do that? So the Mishnah says that not all the Kohanim, no pun intended, were able to stomach it. The Gemara says that only certain Kohanim, the Bavliim, the Babylonian Kohanim, they were strong stomachs. And the Mishnah says that they used to eat it raw. They were able to eat the goat's meat raw. We're not commenting on the gastroenterological part of the equation. The bottom line is that's what the Mishnah says. Kachayu oisim, he used to eat the meat raw. So the Beis Halevi has a whole discussion. What do you mean he used to eat the meat raw? He says, but that's shaloka derech achila. So how are you fulfilling anything? The whole point of the mitzvah is, the whole point of eating the meat is to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas kachim. But if no one's fulfilling the mitzvah anyway, because it's being eaten raw, so that's shaloka derech. So why bother? there's a machlekes acharonim how to solve that problem. So some of the acharonim say that you see from here that for mitzvahs there's no din of shalaki derech. Shalaki derech and kederech are the same thing. Now when do we find there's a din of shalaki derech? That's only in the realm of yisurim. That's like the sugya in the gemara. But chelav, when it comes to mitzvahs essay of achilas kachim, even shalaki derech would be acceptable. And other acharonim say no, a different point of view. Levi says that this is part of the picture that we spoke about last week. That the mitzvah of achilas kachim is different than achilas pesach. We spoke about the shear of kedayis, right? If I'm not mistaken. I think last week we spoke about this. That when it comes to achilas kachim pesach, so each person has to eat a kedayis. When it comes to achilas kachim, you don't have to eat a kedayis. The Mishnah says the Gemara is the favorish that not each kohen has to eat a kedayis of the meat. First, when they used to divide up the lechem upon him on every Shabbos, all the kohanim get a shear on the lechem upon him. So each kohen got a small piece, even less than the shear of a kezayis. So the Beis Halevi says, how could each one get less than a kezayis? No one's getting the mitzvah achila. So we mentioned last week, though, Yosef and the Beis Halevi, that the mitzvah achilas kachim is not a mitzvah sagavra. It's not that I have to eat the korban. The din is that the korban has to be consumed. There's a din that the chefts of the korban must be nechli. You can't leave the korban away to become noisar. So the lechel apadim has to be in. The psar achatas has to be in. But it doesn't have to be in by mikvi, in by any kohen. So whenever the din is that whenever there's a mitzvah achila in the gavra, there's a shir of alocha moshe b'sina called kizayas. Whenever the din is mitam the chefza, as long as the chefza gets eaten up, it's consumed. Man of kamina, whether I had a half a kizayas, we have a kizayas, it doesn't make a difference. Beside the chefza, the korban was eaten. So the Beis Halevi says the same you say when it comes to Shalei Kederach. When we're dealing with a mitzvah sagavra, so then the Torah says, it's only called my achila if I eat in a very specific way. Whatever I eat Shalei Kederach is not my achila. It's not my achila for Yisurim, it's not my achila for mitzvahs. But kachim is a different story. Achila's kachim is the exception to the rule. Because just as achila's kachim doesn't require shir kezayis, so to achila's kachim doesn't require kederach achila. Because the whole point of achila's kachim is not that I should eat it. When I eat something shalei kederach, it's as if I didn't eat it. But the meat is gone. Lemaisa, the meat's not here. So the meat was eaten. There was an achila mitzad achefza, but there wasn't an achila mitzad agavra. An achila mitzad achefza and not mitzad agavra is good enough for the purposes of achila's kachim. It's the yisod from the Beis Halevi. So we're still trying to find an answer to our question. What's the din of each shalei kederach? Is shalei kederach called an achila for the purposes of mitzvahs? Or is it not called an achila for the purposes of mitzvah? So we thought we'd bring a raya from Korban Pesach. It's a bad place to bring a raya from. Korban Pesach can't be eaten raw anyway. We thought we'd bring a raya from Achilas Kachim. That may be the exception to the rule. So what other mitzvah achila do we have? So the only other one we got left is the mitzvah matzah. What's the din of Achilas matzah? If a person sits down to eat matzah at the table in a very, very strange way, would he fulfill the mitzvah or not? No, wait a minute. He's going to eat raw matzah. Raw matzah is no. We have to find a case. What's the hechetimtza of eating matzah shalei kederach? So there is a gemara in Masechet Pesach, a famous gemara, that talks about bol matzah. What if a person takes a piece of matzah and he doesn't chew the matzah, he just swallows it. Just gives a big gulp down. We're not recommending that, but the person goes ahead and does it. What's the din? So the gemara draws a distinction between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of morah. Bol matzah yotzah, bol morah yotzah. When it comes to matzah, so he swallowed the matzah, he was yotzah, he did an achila. He didn't taste the matzah. You have to taste the matzah. It doesn't say anywhere you have to taste the matzah. So the person was yotzah, bol matzah yotzah. Bol morah, but if he swallows morah, he takes a piece of morah and he sculpts down the morah, and he doesn't taste it at all, then he's not yotzah. Why? Because be'in and ta'am morah of aleika. When it comes to morah, so part of the mitzvah morah is to remember by morah's chayim. That's the whole reason why the Torah gives us the mitzvah morah. In the Torah, it was b'zman ha-mikdash, b'zman ha-zetz ha-rabbanah, but the whole thrust of the mitzvah is in what it takes to be torn the morah. So the Gemara is assuming there's a din in the Torah, that the te'imas ha-morah is ma'akev. Even though it's called an achila, bola matzah is yotzah, and bola morah should have been yotzah also, but by morah you're not yotzah for technical grounds, because it's not enough just to eat the morah, you have to actually taste the morah as well. It's based on this Gemara that the Chazon Ish has his famous chumrah. The Yerushalmi raises a question about the morah that we use. The Mishnah says you can use different species of morah. So one of the species of morah that the Mishnah lists off is chasa. So Rashi says that chasa means lituga. It gives it the Latin word, the old French word for lettuce is lituga. So he says you can use lettuce. So the Yerushalmi asks the question, if you can use the lituga, if you can use the lettuce, it's not really bitter. And the Torah says it's got to be morah. So the Yerushalmi says, no, don't worry about it. If you leave it in the ground long enough, it'll turn bitter. It'll also take that, pick up the characteristics of being bitter. So most of the poskim assume, that's what Amdinig is, is that since lettuce has the ability to turn bitter in the ground, so it's called a min maror. Even though you were smart and you didn't let it sit in the ground long enough, you pulled it out before it turned bitter, it's still called a min maror. As long as it's labeled as a min maror. So you yaitse with it. So the Chaz Mishnah says no. Chaz Mishnah says yaitse with it. He says it's called a min maror, but even ta maror, but like you have to taste the bitterness. So even though it may be officially a type of maror, it's not going to be better than bala maror. So you're not yaitse, even though you're eating maror, because you're not tasting maror. So the other post can respond to the Chazanish, but you're tasting lettuce. So once you say that lettuce is called a min maror, that's called the te'ima of maror. There's no din that you have to sit at the seder and sweat and tear and taste bitterness. You have to taste whatever maror is. So once you convey that lettuce is called maror, so then you have to ta'am maror. So if you swallow the lettuce, you're not yet. So if you chew the lettuce and you taste that geschmack, a delicious, sweet, soft romaine lettuce, so then you're going to be yet to the mitzvah. That's called ta'am maror. That's what amminig is. Most people are not chashish. And maybe in Bnei Brak, the chashish for this chazanish. I think most of us are not chashish for this chazanish. Minig ha'olam is like the other poskim. That's also called the fulfillment of ta'am maror. We get back to the story. So the Gemara says that if you swallow maror in one gulp, you're not yaitse for a technical reason, but if you swallow matzah in one gulp, you would be yaitse. So the Acharonim ask, how can you be yaitse? Isn't that culture like a derech? Isn't that the abnormal? Who eats like that? Who swallows a big chunk of matzah without chewing it? So two groups of Acharonim drew different conclusions from this question. One group of Acharonim say, oh, you see from here that for mitzvahs you don't really need kederech. As long as you did an achila, it's called an achila. When the food went down, it's a kezayis, bechdech, the sprouts went down the tube, you had it on the goron, it went down your throat, so you yaitse the mitzvah. Ah, it's shaloi kederech. Loch batli. Kederech, shaloi kederech. Shaloi kederech is a detail in Hilchos Isurim, has nothing to do with mitzvahs essay. And other Acharonim said, no. Other Acharonim said, that, what are you talking about? Of course, the din of kederach, the din of achila are the same in Isurim as they are in the realm of mitzvahs. So why does the Gemara say that bala matzah is yotza? Who says that's shalai kederach? People are very hungry, they give a gulp. You tell your kids, chew your food. Nope, just swallows, picks a big piece of ice cream and a big piece of a pizza, just swallows and gulps it down. Who says that's called shalai kederach? Shalai kederach means that you take raw food, that's called shalai kederach. Just swallowing something without chewing it, make it tasty. Maybe that's not considered to be enough of shalai kederach. But lu yitzuya, if you would actually create a scenario of eating matzah, shalai kederach mamish, maybe you wouldn't be yaitse. Maybe nechanami, maybe taka wouldn't be yaitse. So we're not sure. We don't have any Gemara that says explicitly that the din of kederach by mitzvahs. The Gemara speaks about shalai kederach by isurim, but it doesn't speak about it by mitzvahs. So it's unclear what the din would be if you would really create such a scenario. The problem is we haven't found a case. Achilas korban pesach, it's hard to construct the case. Achilas kachim is probably the exception to the rule. In the midst of matzah, we have to find the case of shalai kederach. That's simple. But if you would find the case of shalai kederach by mitzvahs, that would be subject to this discussion whether you would be, I'd say, the mitzvah or not. The Gemara has other kinds of adidim that seem to appear by the realm of Isura, which also we have to wonder whether they carry over to mitzvahs. The Gemara speaks about on Yom Kippur, a din of achila gasa. The Gemara says, let's say a person eats a big, big meal erev Yom Kippur. He's stuffed to the gills, and then it comes after Kanidre, and he's stuffed, he can't push anything down anymore, and afal b'chein, he still pushes himself, he forces himself to take that extra piece of cake. So the Gemara says the good news is that he's not going to be chayef eating in Yom Kippur. You know why? Because Hashelos Unexir. The Torah says in Yom Kippur that the Yisr is to be ma'ana yourself, to be break the inui. So it's called an achila gasa. An achila gasa, that's not considered to be a violation of Yom Kippur. So the guy chopped that extra piece of dessert. He's miserable, he can't stand it, but since he ate it coming off a full stomach from right before Yom Kippur, that wouldn't be a violation of Yom Kippur min HaTorah, achila gasa. So the Acharonim have a discussion, what kind of a din is that of achila gasa? Is achila gasa just a prat in Yom Kippur? That since Yom Kippur, the Torah says it has to be a bitla inoy, so how can you call an achila gasa a bitla inoy? Or is that a din in Kol HaTorah Kula? That's a din of achila. It's not a limited din in Hilchos Yom Kippurim. It's a din of Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Acharonim raised such a shayla.
I didn't catch what you said. When did he have the achila's gasa?
He ate the achila gasa after Yom Kippur started. So right before Kol Nidre, he fills his stuff to the gills. That's okay. Now he comes to Kol Nidre. After Kol Nidre, he says, I can't stand it. I'm not sure. I'm going to force myself to take that bowl of ice cream. And he pushes it. And then he threw up. But he ate the ice cream. It was a long Kol Nidre after the drasha. And he's still full. It was a long drasha, long appeal. But he's still stuffed to the gills. So the Gemara says that he's potter for doing that in Yom Kippur. So one could suggest that maybe that's a din only by Yom Kippur, not by other dinim. So the answer is it doesn't appear that way from the Gemara, because the Gemara speaks about an achila gasa by Korban Pesach as well. The Gemara says, what if a guy sits down and eats the Korban Pesach, he's so stuffed, You're supposed to eat Korban Pesach al Hasova. You're supposed to eat it that you're somewhat full. That's why we have the Korban Chagiga beforehand. You're supposed to eat it as dessert. It's supposed to be the grand finale of the meal. But you're not supposed to be stuffed to the gills. But when it comes to the Afikomen, so the post came right, based on this, you have to be careful not to eat too much. If you eat too much at the Seder, you come sit down to the Afikomen. I can't even shove down another piece of matzah. So then one wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says that Achila Gasa on Korban Pesach maybe would be no good. That's a question to be shown of how to read that Gemara exactly. So if you hold that an Achila Gasa is no good in terms of Achilas, so that seems to be linking together mitzvahs and isurim. It's all part of the same picture. So does that necessarily mean it carries over to other shaloka derechs? Not clear. Maybe achila gas is a different type of shaloka derech. So it's not clear whether that gemara has any bearing on this altogether. So a kopan, I'm getting back to our story. We still don't have absolute clarity about what the role of shaloka derech is in the rabbi of mitzvahs. It's hard to find the case. If korban pesach is not a good example, and kachim is not a good example, and matzah may not be a good example, it's hard to find the case of shaloka, or something that's pure shaloka derech, would that spill over in the rabbi of mitzvahs? This din of shaloka derech achila is not qualifying as achila, so the Gemara says beferish in Maseches Pesachim that there are a few exceptions to this rule. There are some areas of halacha where you're not allowed to eat something, but for whatever reason, the Torah didn't formulate the issa b'loshin achila. So let's say l'mashal basa b'cholav. The Torah never says don't eat basa b'cholav. The Torah says lo sevasha gudi b'cholav imo, and then the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets that to mean in issa rachila. But l'maisa, the Torah doesn't say the word achila. Let's say kili hakerem. If you have grain that you plant together with grapes, so you're not allowed to eat the resulting food. Most of the time, if you violate kilayim, you're allowed to eat it. So if you go ahead and you grafted trees or something, and you created a new fruit, you created was a nectarine? That was a nectarine graft. No, I think that was a tangelo. No, they always create crazy fruits that they create. So you're not supposed to do that. It's an issa d'oraisa to do that. It's called hakarbas ha'ilan. But with the avid, you permit it's mutlach etchila to eat it after it was done. So the only type of kilayim that's also even after the fact is kili hakerem. So if you plant grain together with grapes, so whatever results, whatever grows from that mixture is going to be awesome in the Torah. It's going to look like grapes, it's going to look like grain. Some people, when they learn kilayim, so they don't know too much about planting, so they think that, oh, kili hakerem looks like something else, something brand new entity called kili hakerem. It's the same grapes and wheat don't form together, they don't plant together to make anything new. Just the fact that you're planting it next to each other, that in and of itself is the issa d'oraisa, l'shizu karmach kilayim. And then the Torah says that predictish amleazera, that if you went ahead and planted it, so you're not permitted to eat it, you're not permitted to derive benefit from it. So that's an issa d'oraisa called kiliyah kerem. So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim in the second parak that what if a person has kiliyah kerem and he goes and eats kiliyah kerem shaloi kederach in an abnormal fashion, so he's chayav malchus for that. That's an issa d'oraisa. Why? If he eats chaylev and chazve shaloi kederach, so that's okay in the Torah. So the Gemara says that kiliyah kerem, the Torah never says achila, the Torah says pentikdash, it's a different lashon. Whenever the Torah formulates an issa, not the Torah's achila, so that is automatically an exclusion to the principle of shaloi kederach. Shaloi kederach is a matir only in isurim which are formulated as achila. Achila is a drasha. Achila pra l'shaloi kederach achila. But when the Torah uses a different phrase to create an issa, so then that distinction between achila kederach and achila kederach falls by the wayside. So that's what the Gemara says. Beferish, that if a person eats bas b'cholav shaloi kederach, if a person eats kiliyah kerem shaloi kederach, anytime he eats something shaloi kederach, if the Torah didn't use the magic word achila, so that's not going to be. You're not going to have a hefty. You're not going to have a patur even min haTorah. So there is a big machlekes acharonim about this carries over to Yom Kippur. So the Shagasai has his famous chiddush. We spoke, this was a Shabbos Shuvah Rosh, this year, last year, one year, somewhere back we spoke about the Shagasai. The Shagasai has a big chiddush. He says that Yom Kippur also, it doesn't say Loshen Achil, it says Loshen Inui. So just as Basim Cholav, there's no distinction between Derech Achil and Shalach Derech Achil. So too in Hilchos Kiliyah Kerem, and so too in Hilchos Yom Kippur. So if a person sits down and eats raw food on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayev, according to Shagasai, the same as eating anything else, that Shaloi Kederach is not a putter on Yom Kippur. And other Acharim disagree. Again, there's not a Yom Kippur shiur right now. Other Acharim say that Yom Kippur is different. The reason why the Torah doesn't say Achila, that's for other reasons, because it's a whole story. But maybe we shouldn't equate Yom Kippur to other Yisurim. So Machlokes is a Gedol Acharonim. What's the din of Achila Shaloi Kederach on Yom Kippur? So the Shagasai asks the question himself, Abba Zoyim, that's true, that Shaloi Kederach is Chayiv in Yom Kippur. So how do I explain a Mishnah? The Mishnah says Beferish, Oichel Oichlan She'enim Ru'uyim. A person eats food that's not edible. A person eats rotten food. A person eats spoiled things. A person eats terrible tasting foods. The Mishnah says beferish that potter yom kippur. The Mishnah says black and white. There's no sederaisa. So how could that be? If I just got finished telling you the yom kippur is not the same as other isurim, how do you explain away the Mishnah? So Shagas Aryeh gives a yisoid. It's mamash of brisket Torah. It's predated the brisket by a little bit, but the Shagas Aryeh says no. There are two types of shaloi kederach. The shaloi kederach when there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the food. There's a shaloi kederach mitzad gavra, and then there's a shaloi kederach mitzad chefza. Shaloi kederach mitzad gavra means that there's nothing really wrong with the food. Raw food, if you take a look at a raw piece of meat, there's nothing wrong with the food. There's no pagam in the food. There's no psul in the food. Haraya, throw it into the fire, cook it up in an oven. I'll have perfectly tasting a chela. So why am I potter? So what's the nature of the p'tur? So says the Shagasai, it's a p'tur in the Gavra, that when the Torah says that you, Reuven, are not permitted to eat chaylev, so if I, Reuven, eat chaylev in an abnormal fashion, that's not considered to be my achila. That's considered to be a chisar in my achila's chaylev. When you have something which is wrong in the chefza, it means the food is spoiled. It means no one's ever going to eat this food. The food is gone forever, or the food was never edible in the first place. Things which are pogum, things which are where there's a problem in the chefza proper. So says the Shagasai, that's not called food. That's mamish nothing. That's not just a p'tur mitzad agave. That's not called food. It's like eating dirt. If a person goes, sits down, eats dirt on Yom Kippur, he's not chayav for that. He took an object and he put it into his mouth. That's not called achila. Achila means achila has to be achila and ochel. So comes the. It's like an Elaine, you gotta be careful about curry. Who's nervous about the bar mitzvah was to get the ochel right. You gotta make sure it's a different word. It says ochel means food, and ochel means to eat. So in yesterday's lady, there was kikal ochel chelev. If Bakari would say kikal ochel, you gotta correct him, and that's a different word. So that's exactly what the Shagasai says. There's a difference between the ochel and the ochel. That on in Kala Tarakula, in order to be chayav, so you have to be an ochel, you have to be a gavra who's an ochel, you have to eat the food in order to be chayav. And if it's shaloi kederech, even if it's shaloi kederech, not mitzad a chefz, but mitzad a gavra, that normal people don't eat raw food, regular the recipe doesn't have on it, a regular menu doesn't have on it raw chicken. You don't walk the restaurant and order raw chicken. So that's very strange mitzad gavra. So mitzad gavra, that's not called achila. When there's a chisar mitzad chefza, the food is gone and finished and spoiled. It's never going to come back to life. No one's ever going to eat such a kind of food. That's already a pagam mitzad chefza. And when you have a pagam mitzad chefza, so that's a din. It's not called food. It's not called food. So then it's not going to be chayv in Yom Kippur either. So that mishnah can still be explained even according to the Shagasai theory. So that which the Shagas Aryeh has this idea vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, so other Echronim have the same idea in the realm of Bas Mechala. The Nesivis, the Sefer Chavis Das in Yerodea, develops the exact same principle when it comes to Bas Mechala. Says the Nesivis, you know, we know that, we just kept saying that Bas Mechala, there's no din of Shulik Yederach on Bas Mechala. So what would the din be? Let's say a person has Bas Mechala. He has that cheeseburger, and the cheeseburger is sitting out in the sun, it's sitting out, it's spoiled, it's rotten, it's terrible, it's miserable, it tastes horrible. What would it then be if a person would eat such a cheeseburger? Would that be considered to be eating a cheeseburger? Would that be considered to be an iser of achilas bas b'chalav anha? So there are some achronim who said yes. The Chavis Das quotes from Yonah said, Ibishit, and said, yeah, that would be an iser derais, he'd be chayav malchus for eating the rotten, spoiled cheeseburger. Why is that? So Rabbi Yonah said, Ibishit says, make a simple cheshbon. So the Gemara says in Psachim that shaloi kederach is chayav in bas b'chalav. So he says, rotten food is shaloi kederach. So shaloi kederach, put two and two together. If you chayav for shaloi kederach, and rotten food is shaloi kederach, so you chayav for eating a rotten cheeseburger. So the Nesiva says, no, it's not true. The Nesiva says, without quoting the Shagasai, he says the same he said as the Shagasai. He says, no, the Chlal, it's not the same. He says that when it comes to a rotten cheeseburger or a rotten food, the reason why you're potter is not because of Shaloi Kederach. It's not called food. That's not called Eichel anymore. It's nothing. So even in the realm of Bas Mechalav, you're not chayev. It can only be Bas Mechalav if it's food. If you eat Bas Mechalav in an abnormal manner, whatever that would mean, you construct the case, if you personally eating Bas Mechalav in a personal type of abnormal manner, then you're going to be chayev because there's no p'tur of Shaloi Kederach by Bas Mechalav because the Torah doesn't use the word Achila. But whenever there's a Pagam Mitzad Achefza, so the Pagam Mitzad Achefza, so it's not food anymore, it's garnish, it's nothing. If it's nothing, then of course you're going to be potter even by Bas Mechalav. So this halacha, that when something becomes so rotten, so spoiled, it's not called food anymore, Where does that come from? What is the nature of that din? So that's the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara learns that out from a pasuk by Nevela. The Torah says, don't eat Nevela. Don't eat an animal that died without Shechita. But rather, give it to the guy himself, to the guy, give it as a gift to the guy, whatever it is. Give it to somebody who's permitted to eat it. So the Torah is clearly describing edible Nevela. You're not giving spoiled food to the non-Jew. You're giving him edible Nevela. So from the fact that the Torah illustrates for us what to do with Nevela, we learn out of din for us also. That's only a Nevela really gear, only a Nevela that theoretically could be eaten by a non-Jew, only such a Nevela is called a Nevela. Once it reaches a point where even though we know it's Nevela, it's chemically, biologically a Nevela, but it tastes so miserable, so horrible, that nobody in the right mind would ever eat it. So that's called Nifso Miachilas Adam. Once something is Einu really gear, it's Nifso Miachilas Adam, so it's not called a Nevela anymore. So that's the marker for this din of Nifso Miachilas Adam. Once it reaches, dips beneath the point of Nifso Miachilas Adam, it's not called Nevela, it's not called Bos B'chol, it's nothing, all these Suri Achila fall by the wayside. So this din, that based on the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah, this drasha, this din min HaTorah, now once it reaches beneath the point of Ein Ruah L'Ger, so it loses all the Isuri Achila, this poses a problem, particularly in the realm of Hilchas Chametz. Because when it comes to Chametz, so all of a sudden the Gemara, the third parak of Psachim, starts to speak about a different shiur. The Gemara quotes a braisa that talks about Hapasha Ivsha, about bread that starts to spoil, you have Chametz that's spoiling, and at what point you said you don't have to worry about it anymore. So the Gemara quotes a shiur that we never heard of, a shiur of Nusa Mechilas Kelev. All of a sudden, the dogs got a special schus for Pesach. They became such an important topic in Halacha. So comes the Gemara and says, the Shia for Chametz is a different Shia. The Shia for Chametz all of a sudden dips down. It's got to, Nifso Mechilas Adam isn't good enough. It's got to be Nifso Mechilas Kelev in order for it to be permissible on Pesach. So the question is, where did that come from? No pun intended. Manishtana Chametz, Mother Yisurim. When it comes to everything else, the Shia is Nifso Mechilas Adam. The whole mokor for the din of Nifso Mechilas learned out from Adam. It's got to be an Nevela real again. So how come my high to tell me in the realm of Chametz, all of a sudden everything changes, that the Shia becomes Nifse Mechilas Kelev? So this is not my kasha. This is all the Rishonim involved with this kasha. How could it be? Where did this magic Shia come from? Everybody in the street knows this. Dog wouldn't eat it. Who cares what a dog would eat? We shouldn't be asking the dogs. We should be asking the people. Where did the Shia come from of Nifse Mechilas Kelev? So there's a major machlekes of Rishonim how to solve this problem. So the Ran in Maseches Pesachim quotes the possibility that maybe the Shia of Nifse Mechilas Kelev came from a totally different story. It's not really a din in Chometz. It's a din in the other half of Pesach. It's a din of Seor. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat two things on Pesach. There's Nisr of Chometz, there's Nisr of Seor. What's the difference between Chometz and Seor? So the Mishnah, beginning of Eitzah, speaks about what Chometz is, what Seor is, different differences. And the Gemara Pesachim elaborates upon it. The bottom line is that we know what Chometz is. Chometz is something that is already fermented, it's something that's edible. It's bread, it's a piece of cake, it's something that's already reached the point of Chimutz. That means it was flour and water, and it sat for long enough, and it's cracked open, and it's risen. Already, that's, you know, everybody knows what chametz is. So, or is a little bit different. So, or is what we call, like the English, sourdough. Sourdough means that you take flour and water and you have it sit together, and then you have it sit together for a long time, and it sits and it sits and it sits for days, for weeks, for months, for years. It becomes an agent, a catalyst that could bring about chimutz and other things as well. So most of our breads aren't even made with the sourdough anymore, but some of the special bakeries, they still use the sourdough. Apparently, you can keep sourdough for generations. Yeah. So when I was learning Pesachim, I looked up this article about how to make sourdough. There are bakeries in America that have sourdough still for Yerusha, from not Jewish, not kosher bakeries. That be Yerusha from hundreds of years ago. If you take the sourdough, so apparently you can make more sourdough. If you throw it into a dough, and then it turns into another dough, and then you take some, it's chayz v'nei, it keeps on going on forever and ever and ever. So apparently there are baker secrets about exactly how long to keep the sourdough and how to make it. A whole kind of a cheshbon has to make the different kinds of bread. So that's what the term means, sa'or. So you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to eat sa'or. So the Gemara asks the question, what do you need both tukum for? It's the same thing. It's flour and water. So this is bread and this is a dough and it's still sitting for 20 years. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush in each one. That sa'or is in a certain sense worse than chametz, because the s'or has the ability to make other things chametz. If you take a slice of bread and you put it into a dough, nothing's going to happen. That's not anything. But if you take sourdough and you put it into a dough, it's going to turn the other dough into chametz faster. So s'or has the property of being mechametz acherim. On the other hand, s'or is not so tasty. It's called sourdough for a reason. You wouldn't want to eat sa'or. You just sit down and eat sa'or, so it wouldn't taste so good. So sa'or, on the one hand, has a chumrah to it, that it's mechametz acherim. On the other hand, it doesn't taste so good. But chametz tastes great. If a slice of pizza tastes really, really good. On the other hand, if I take the slice of pizza and throw it into a pizza dough, nothing's going to happen to the rest of the dough. So sa'or has certain qualities that chametz doesn't have, and vice versa. So that's what the Torah has to write, chametz and sa'or. So the bottom line is, the dinim are all the same. You can't eat chametz, can't eat sa'or. You chayv karos feeding chametz, you chayv karos feeding sa'or. You over by Rabbi Matzah and chametz, you over by Rabbi Matzah and sa'or. You chayv and tishbis for chametz, chayv and tishbis. Everything is the same. The Gemara says, it's all the same. All the halachas are all the same. Mamash, no difference whatsoever. However, and the reason why the Torah has to say both is for this unique reason. The only possible difference in the two is according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai in the first Mishnah Beis says maybe there's a difference of Shear. Maybe the Shear of Kazayas is only in one Kibbeis. Even that we deny. We pass like Beis Hillel. So the bottom line is there's really no difference practically between Chametz and Sa'or. 99% of the Shailas that we have is Chametz. We have very, very few Sa'or Shailas. But for good luck, we throw in Sa'or into Kol Chamira. Kol Chamira v'chamira. So Chamia means, I think, means Sa'or. So Kol Chamira is Chametz and Kol Chamia is Sa'or. So just in case someone's got the sourdough in their bakery somewhere. So we throw that in for good luck. Anyway, getting back to the story. So it comes around and says that Sa'or, by definition, is not really edible. That's what the Gemara says. No one would sit down, Chamashugan would sit down and eat a meal of, I can't find a slice of bread to make a cream cheese sandwich, so I'll throw some onto my Sa'or. Doesn't taste very good. So it comes around and says, you see that there's a chiddush in Hilchos Pesach that something which is, even if it's less than Nifsa Me'achila, Me'achilas Adam, is still problematic. Why? Why is Sa'or Asar? Why should Sa'or be Asar? If Sa'or is not Roy L'Achilas Adam, why is it Asar? So the answer is, it's Roy L'Chamea L'Chametz Isas Acheiros. It has that quality to it that it can be Mechametz other things. So the Ran says that that's what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says that there's a Shear of Nisam Echilas Kelev, so that's a Shear for Sa'or types of foods. That's a Shear for anything that has that ability, the potential to be Mechametz other things. So then, it's not enough just to say, oh, Nisam Echilas Adam. No, you see Nuchas Pesach, Nisam Echilas Adam doesn't do the trick. If Nisam Echilas Adam did the trick in Nuchas Pesach, there would be no Issur of Sa'or. So anything that has the ability to be Mechametz Acherim automatically has to dip beneath the lower Shear. Once it's Nisam Echilas Adam, then it's Chamamish nothing, then it's zero, then it's garnished. But Kol's man that it's in that window between Nisam Echilas Adam versus Nisam Echilas Kelev, since it has the ability of Mechametz other things, therefore it would be problematic. So the Pashtas Advarim is, if you go with that route, so that's only if it has that ability. What if it doesn't have that ability? What if it's already baked up? It's a slice of cake, and a slice of cake is already starting to rot. Nobody would eat this cake anymore, but a dog would still eat it. L'chari, that should not be chametz anymore. L'chari, the rat's kasha is correct. The shear really is nifsa mechilas adam. That type is that famous shear. The only reason why we have to dip beneath to the point of nifsa mechilas kelev is just in case that this particular chametz that you have is not really chametz, it's really sa'or, that it potentially has the ability to mechametz others, so then you have to reckon with the shear of nifsa mechilas kelev. But in terms of no one's dealing with Sa'or anyway. All our foods, everything is Nifsa Mechilas Adam. So we should rephrase all our questions. We want to know, is the toothpaste Chametz or not? We're not asking whether it's Nifsa Mechilas Kelev. We should ask, is it Nifsa Mechilas Adam? We want to know, is the perfume Chametz or not? So who cares what the dogs say? We have to ask the people what the people say. So if that's the case, and in answer to the question, needs one of those products, but L'chor, according to the Ran Svara, the real Shear is Nifsa Mechilas Adam. The only time that Halacha considers Nifsa Mechilas Kelev as a factor is only when you're dealing with Sa'or. But other Vishayim give a different answer. Other Vishayim say no, that the Shear for Chametz is Takan Nifsa Mechilas Kelev based on the following reason. The din of Nifsa Mechilas Adam is a din in Achila. That's learned out from Lager Shem Sharech Din Arachola. That's a din in Achila. So imagine the following. Imagine you have a piece of bread. It's a real chametz gomor, and it happens to dip beneath the point of Nifsa Mechilas Adam. So good. So the taka, there's no way Mechilas Chametz on that. You know, there's taka, no way Mechilas Chametz on it. But it's still an issue by Rav Matzei. When it comes to chametz, it's not just an issur achila that we have to reckon with. We have to reckon with an issur of owning chametz. So come some Mishnah and say that when it dips beneath the point of achilas adam, it's still called chametz, but there's no issur achila on it. So vis-a-vis hilchos achila, it's not going to issur. But vis-a-vis hilchos by Rav Matzah and Mitzvah Tashbisa, there still is a problem. So that's why nifsa mechilas adam isn't sufficient. So why does nifsa mechilas kelev help? Nifsa mechilas kelev is a different for it. Nifsa mechilas kelev means once something is no longer edible for a dog, it's not called oichel b'chlal. It's not called food. proof positive. The Gemara says the Shia for Tumas Ochlin, if you have food that's edible for a person, it starts to become rotten, as long as it's still edible for a dog, it's still Metabi Tumas Ochlin. It's still subject to the Dinim of Tumas Vitara. Once it reaches beneath the point, dips beneath the point of Nisa Mechelas Kelev, it's always Eichel, it's not Eichel B'chlal. So that's what some Rishonim say. The Chavarim elaborate upon these Rishonim, Reb Chaim Eizer writes, and others write, that the reason why there's a Shia of Chometz of Nisa Mechelas Kelev is not Bitam the Yisra Achila Shabbat, it's Bitam the Yisra by Rav Emotze Shabbat. So that's why a Nifsa Mechilas Adam isn't enough. It's enough to say, you don't, there's no way if you'd eat it, but it's not enough to be Matir the Yisra by Rav Emotze. That's why you have to dip beneath that point. You got to go beneath the point of Nifsa Mechilas Kelev. Only at that point, then it's mamish nothing. Then it's like a dirt. Then it loses the status of Eichel B'chlal. So according to those Rishonim who have that distinction, that it's not chometz legabi achila, but it is chometz legabi bar Rav Emotze, that's a tremendous chiddush, because that would, the reason why the Ran wouldn't have given such a teretz is the Ran l'shitase. The Ran at the beginning of Pesachim says that the whole reason why the Torah gave an isser by Rav Emotze is like a siyag d'araisa. It's a gezeira d'araisa. Don't own chometz because you may come to eat the chometz. So according to the Ran, how can you have an isser by Rav Emotze? If you're telling me there's no wisdom in the Torah to eat it anymore, then there should be no isser by Rav Emotze. These Rishonim, the Raiv and others who distinguish between by Rav Emotze, the standards for by Rav Emotze and the standards for Achila are different, that only makes sense if you hold that by Rav Emotze is not Achila oriented. But if you hold like the Ran in the beginning of Pesachim, that the whole thrust of the Torah, the Dinah Torah by Rav Emotze is a Siyag, is a Gezeirah to Achila, so then that distinction now becomes, doesn't make any sense at all. So the bottom line is you have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim. Where did this new Shia come from? This magic Shia called Nifsa Mechilas Kelpach. We never heard of it in any other area of Halacha. We don't find it anywhere else. And all of a sudden, punk, in the realm of Chometz, this Shia makes its appearance. So where does it come from? So some of the Rishonim say, it's not really a din of Chometz. Achilas Chometz, Tachah the Shia is Kedei Achilas Adam, like any other Yisrael Achila. It's just that in the realm of Pesach, you always have to always be concerned that maybe there's some kind of a S'or floating around here. So that's where the Shia becomes different. And other Rishonim say, no, Sa'ar is Sa'ar. Who's talking about? We're talking about Sa'ar. We're talking about Chametz. And the reason why the Shia is, it's not a din of Achilas Chametz. It's a din of by Rav Emotze. And those Rishonim will give that Teretz are willing to split between by Rav Emotze and Achilas Chametz. You can have something that in theory would not be subject to the Yisra Deraisa of Achilas Chametz, but would still be subject to the Yisra Deraisa by Rav Emotze. Whenever we speak about this Chametz, that's Nifso, it's Adam, it's Kala, whatever it is, this is all Minatorah. That means Minatorah, eat it. But the Gemara uses the phrase potter. So according to most of the Rishonim, it means potter val osa. That's what we assume. That's still osa mid the Rabbanan. That even if you have chametz, that's nifsa miachila, you're not permitted to eat it mid the Rabbanan. Why not? So the Rush writes in the beginning of the second paragraph of Pesachim because of achshavei. Because by eating it, you are giving significance to it. Even though minatora, it's objectively worthless, but you're sitting down to a meal of spoiled food, so that you're giving it chashivas, so and that would be a problem fashas mid the Rabbanan. So that's the big machlekes of poskim. How does that play out in terms of medication? So many poskim are makos. Most of us are mekel, that since the whole reason to aser mid the rabbanon foods that any that nifsa meachila adam kelav whatever the shear is, the whole reason to aser is because of achshavei, because I'm giving significance to it. That makes sense if I'm really showing that I want to eat it. If I sit down, I'm going to sit down willingly to a meal of spoiled food. That's a problem with the rabbanon. I don't want to sit down and eat this medicine. I'd much rather not be sick. The doctor prescribed me the following medicine. Nebuch, I got a machshavit. I'd rather not have it altogether. So many people can say that's not called achshavit. Achshavit only makes sense in the context of eating. Anything that's being done with tourist medication, so it's hard to say achshavit. Then you run into very fine lines. At what point do you draw the line between what's food and what's medicine? That's really part of the whole vitamin question about Pesach and other areas of Allah again. Not for now, but a core part of it's all working with this same kind of a mindset. Namely that midat Torah, we've solved whatever problems we've already solved. With the Rabbanu, we have a problem of Akshavei, and then you have to figure out whether Akshavei applies in any given situation. Okay, so Metzhem in 2 weeks, we'll continue. Next week, we'll give him a break, and Metzhem 2 weeks.